Yeah, you ready? Let's do it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This week's NFL, this week, this podcast is NFL podcast, featured around the wildcard games, literally wild too.
And do we have to?
Yeah, well, we'll have to talk about at least one of them. And
no, we don't.
A lot of talk about the coaching carousel, as well as a couple of, I guess, big name players declaring for the 2020 draft. But we will start with the scores. The first one was the Bills and Texans. The Texans getting home in OT 22-19. The Titans getting over the Patriots 20-13.
I picked it.
Yes, that was the only one I picked right, I think. the Vikings getting over the Saints in OT 26-20. Well, and probably the only fairly decent predictable one, the Seahawks getting over the Eagles 17-9, even though it was still low scoring.
Not without controversy as well, I suppose.
Well, really, you can really look at all four games, and there was a little bit of controversy in all four games, probably except for the Titans-Patriots. But
craziness in all these games. Man, there was some wacky shit going on.
Well, we'll just go with we'll go down the order. So the first one, the Bills and the Texans. I didn't expect the Texans to win, or at least fight back to win in that game. I don't know what your thoughts were for them. The Texans, I mean.
I was... you can't write them off, but that Bills defense was pretty stifling in that first half. And then obviously, like we said, the little bit of controversy to start the second half. But that was the thing. Like the only touchdown pass in the first half was not even from Josh Allen. Mm-mm.
He was the one that
caught the touchdown. Like, yeah. That was just yeah. To me, they did some crazy stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if they knew what. Well, they've played Houston before, so it's not like they knew what they were going into. But we'll go back to the controversy that you said. So that was just after the second half. A kick went down. The Houston Texans punt returners, I guess, put his hands out.
But he didn't.
The letter of the law technically is you either have that. Well, technically you could have that 1 foot out if you catch. Not that it was on the dead ball line, but if you have that 1 foot out, and that's then fine as a touchback. Sorry, technically, the rule of the law, or the letter of the law, is that you've got when if you're not going to run out of that line, you've got to take a knee.
You've got to take a knee.
Becomes a touchback. And he didn't do that. He put his hands out. He's caught the ball, and then he's thrown it. And the refs went, "Oh, I don't want to touch it. That's a
low
ball."
The referee didn't want a bar of it. He's just like, "What the hell are you throwing it to me for?"
Well, it's technically a live ball, but. Even though the letter of the law, and then the Buffalo Bills have done the smart thing, run through and grab the ball for a touchdown.
They knew what was happening.
Well, then it's gone to New York, and they said, it's basically given up. So
yeah, his intentions were clear that he wasn't going to run it back, because when you catch the ball, obviously you start to run it back, and he didn't. But like you said, the letter of the law. And how hard is it to just drop to a knee? There you go, done.
Yeah, it's not well.
All of this goes away.
Yeah, it was a crazy. And then I think at the there's a couple of crazy calls, especially on the Bills sort of side. I mean, Josh Allen, I don't know what that guy was thinking in the fourth quarter, like you were saying, just before the quarter.
Pressure does. You know, crazy things to people, and obviously, it was a close game. It's his first playoff game. He probably wouldn't have played in too many sort of like meaningful, bowl games, or certainly nothing like a conference championship or anything when he was at Wyoming. So this is a pressure cooker. So and he in the first half he was good in it, but when push come to shove and it was in the clutch, he was pretty ordinary.
I felt that his offense did let him down a bit. I mean, he was somehow the leading rush yards taker for the Bills with nine carries for 92 yards. In fairness to Devin Singletary, at least he topped somehow the receiving count, six catches for 76 yards. So it was a weird and wacky game. The only obviously constant in that game was DeAndre Hopkins getting 90 yards for six carries.
That's right. But he also had a fumble in that first half too, which led to a Bills field goal. So
yeah.
And he does, yeah, he's got some pretty safe hands, DeAndre Hopkins. So, you know, for that to only cost them 3 points was a bit of a godsend, and that didn't end up costing him too much. And you know, the Bills sort of, I guess, ineptness in offense kept the Texans in the game. But yeah, if they rule that so-called non-touchback a touchdown, then I don't think the Texans have another TD in them to get them back in that game. That's 19-0 then when that goes over, and possibly 20 after the PAT, after the point, not necessarily, you know, a traditional touchdown, but a touchdown nonetheless.
But technically, it could even be called a safety at the very least, and that still would have been two points.
If they wanted to rule an illegal forward pass.
Yeah, correct.
Then it would have only cost them 2 points. I've heard a few ESPN analysts come out and say that it could be technically ruled as an illegal forward pass. And that's a safety in such. So, but I think the referees on field got it right. All he's got to do. Yeah. I get it, you know. But the referee is not out there to adjudicate somebody's intentions.
Yeah,
they're there to adjudicate the rules. And by rule, he should have taken a knee, or what would have happened if he just had have stood there and maybe sort of walked the ball out, and one of the Bills defenders come along and absolutely poleaxes him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what happens there? By the letter of the law, if he hasn't taken a knee, and he hasn't thrown the ball or anything like that, and he's just wandering around in the end zone.
Well, he's got poleaxed. That is a safety.
That's essentially safety, but what would they say? You know what I mean? Wow. It's just, yeah, it's
or he's walked so over and, bizarre. Yeah, and he's always walked over and gave the ball to the umpire. Yeah, well, clearly not the umpire wanted to touch the ball anyway.
Oh, the refs. I mean, the ref did not want any part of that football at all.
I still think just on the look, the Texans did come away with that win, but I think Deshaun Watson needs still to work a bit better. Look, he did 20 out of 25 for 247.
But they weren't seven times.
Yes.
Like he and just can't quality keep passes. Taking these hits.
No, he can't. He has no protection up front. He hasn't had it. Although last year he had no protection. This year he's had
It's been better this year. He's still copping a beating though.
I don't know. I can't see him progressing past next week. At all, I don't know about you. I think they've have the Chiefs. Yeah, no,
they've
I don't see that happening.
They've got the Chiefs next week, so them defensively aren't really going to scare too many people. But offensively, that they'll just the Chiefs should realistically blow them out of the water.
Next game was the Titans getting over the New England Patriots at Foxborough too. So did. I thought as soon as I seen this and when I watched it, I thought, did that Miami game sort of screw them? Which I kind of think it did. I think they shot themselves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100% correct that them doodling about with the Dolphins last week, what's cost them their season? If they win last week, nobody can knock them off at least second position. So they go in the first week of the playoffs. They don't even have to play in the wild card round.
Yeah.
Even if the Chiefs win, they still New England still holds second position. Yeah, they can't catch Baltimore, which is fine. But that means it just means they don't have to play in the wild card round. And have a look what happened.
Have a break, get readjusted, basically.
That's right. Instead, you know, Tannehill comes in and throws for 72 total yards, and they get stomped all over by the beast that is Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like we've been saying it every week for the last 4 weeks, but that, that was another Derrick Henry show. It's 34 carries for 182 yards. I love watching him play because he's quick. He's a very quick player, but
nobody can tackle him.
No, that's the reason I think no one can tackle him because he's low to the ground, so he's got that low center of gravity to the ground, and I just think they can't because he's so low to the ground. I don't think they can actually reach him. I think they're diving
He's got some shoulders on him too. Don't worry about that.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, obviously the league's leading rusher. Yeah, for the season, he had over 1,500 yards total for the season. We mentioned that last week. Yeah, 1,500 and 200. He only had 200 catching yards, which I thought was a little bit sort of low. I would have thought, after doing a little bit of research, I would have thought he would have had more than just 200 pass catching yards throughout the season. That was a little bit out there. But they clearly gone in. They tried a little bit with Tannehill on a couple of series, and it didn't work. So they're just like, righto, here you go, Derrick Henry, lead us to victory.
I'm only sort of thinking of two. The offensive sort of player of the year, if you had this, I know we'll talk about it next week, we had to pick one now, would you throw it at Derrick Henry or Michael Thomas?
He would be very much up there. I think the three players for, you know, offensive player of the year are Mike Thomas, Henry, and McCaffrey. Like, they're your guys.
Yeah, and I think he's kind of hard to beat.
I think so.
What happens with the Patriots now? Obviously, their season's over. What do they do? I mean, it's pretty black and white what they need, and it's offense. It's wide receiver. It's a running back. The defense is great.
They need them. I don't think that they. They've got the running backs there. Like Sony Michel had a good rookie campaign, obviously not so much this year. James White is an Alvin, you know, poor man's Alvin Kamara. He's a better pass catcher than what he is, with his rushing ability. But he still can rush the ball.
Receiving yards, so yeah, correct.
No, that's right. Who else are they going to throw to? Julian Edelman had a couple of uncharacteristic drops. You know, looking forward before he'd actually caught the ball. So, you know, Brady was getting not a lot of help from receivers and also just no help up front. They have to go in and they have to either try and find, some offensive line pieces, find themselves either, you know, a George Kittle type tight end, which was always, you know, the Brady safety valve with Gronk being there.
With Gronk being there, yeah.
Yeah. But, polar bears like Rob Gronkowski don't just grow on trees. Like they just don't. So I don't know where you find one of those. So your best bet is to try and get some protection for him. If you get decent protection, then your running game will excel because you can create holes for your runners then. Beat them up sort of running back, which Sony Michel's not really in that sort of mold.
No, correct. But in the last two, I still think he has pretty good offensive protection. The last 2 weeks, even though they're two losses, he didn't get sacked in any of those games. But it's more that he's got nothing to throw to. That's my take.
He's got nothing to throw to, but if he has to get and him and Drew Brees, obviously they're the two, you know, 40-year-old, you know, where there's another one that made his playoff debut a little bit later for Philadelphia, who was 40 years old. But you know what I mean? Like, you know, those older quarterbacks, they've got the knack of getting the ball out quick.
Yeah.
And that's what Brady, you know, that's what Brady does. And that's what Brees does. You know, that they don't hang on to the ball because they're not very mobile in the pocket. Brees is a little bit more, you know, mobile in the pocket. But Brady's a statue.
Yeah, Brady is a statue.
He's got good footwork. He sort of bounces around a little bit. But when push comes to shove, like he doesn't move very well, you know, as a scrambler at all. So if you can sort of get a little bit better protection, then yeah, that's gonna go a long way. Have a look at the time that the Saints offensive line gives Brees.
Yeah, true. Yeah, good point. I mean, we talked about it last week, and then I guess it now sort of ties in well with this week. Tom Brady is now unrestricted free agent. Does Tom Brady stay there, or does Tom Brady look for that last sort of payday? Because he's not getting what he's... I mean, if it's to me, I think New England have to sell it to him, not the other way around. Because they have to sell that he's got something to sort of play
for.
No,
that's right. I don't think he's going to want to have another season like he's had this year. You can see that he's clearly frustrated with what was going on. Mm-hmm. Especially, he had like the worst 9-week stretch of his career, where he was in the bottom third, you know, QBR, completion, you know, yards per game, yards per attempt, you know, things like that. You know, it was just a really bad sort of last half of the season. I don't think he really wants to sign up for that. He wants to be there. He wants to win. And okay, yeah, what were they, 13-3? No, 12-4.
12-4. Yeah.
So, you know, that's their 57th straight, you know, 10-win season. You know, the 10-win season's just growing trees in New England. But, you know, they're not.
He wants another title. I mean, no, that's pretty
right.
safe
that's
for
not them. They're rated, and this dynasty is rated on playoff success.
Yep. And yeah, not on postseason wins. They're rated on postseason wins. So,
no,
yeah,
right.
Correct.
This is the first time that they've had to play in the wildcard round in ten years. Ten years.
Do you really see him moving?
I think I might have even said this last week. I can't see him in another uniform. I just can't.
And I don't think he's going to retire either. So.
No, he said he wants to play till 45. He thinks he's got another 3 years left.
I think next year will be his last year, or he signs a 2-year contract and those next 2 years are his last 2 years. That's it. I think 44, and which sounds ridiculous. We're talking about a quarterback of 44 still signing possibly a massive contract. It's just ridiculous, but that's Tom Brady, right. I suppose.
No, but that's the thing. He's always been very, very team, had team friendly contracts when it comes to his deals.
That's right.
You know, he can command, right, you know, quite a large amount of money. But what's his wife's name? Giselle. She's the breadwinner. He makes more money than what he does.
Yeah, I get that, but that's what I'm saying. But that's exactly right. But he's made all those sacrifices for the team, and this year is easily alone. Like, they've done nothing in return.
No, that's
really.
Right. Well, so except, what do you think? Except for the defense. It's going to be like a Dwayne Wade, where, you know, Dwayne Wade had all that, you know, when they brought LeBron and bought Chris Bosh in, and he was the one that made all the financial sacrifices. And when that, you know, sort of disbanded after 4 years, you know, Dwayne Wade has sort of gone to Pat Riley and says, okay, got you a couple of championships, time for my money. Yeah. And Pat Riley didn't want to pay it, and that's why he went to Chicago, and that's why he went to Cleveland. He got the big contracts, and he's like, righto, there's my money.
And that's sneakily, I still think if there's a carrot in there that says you can get 2 years, $60 million, I think he'll do it personally, but I don't 60, know where, 60, except 60, for LA.
$60 million to throw under the mattress, like that's nothing for Tom Brady.
And so the Titans next week, it'll be a clash of the running backs, Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson.
Well, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, Lamar Jackson's not a running back.
Well, who's to know if Mark Ingram going to be healthy next week?
Well, that's right. That's exactly right.
So that's going to be very interesting to see if they don't have a Mark Ingram.
I don't know what that is at the moment.
No, I don't think so, but that just makes them a little bit more multifaceted. You know, everything isn't going to go through Lamar Jackson. Like, they've still got that option of, you know, Mark Ingram is a damn good running back. I almost called him Mark Henry then. He's not quite the world's strongest man, but
although he'd probably be a damn good running back if he was quick. No one would be able to tackle.
Could you imagine people trying to tackle Mark Henry?
those tree trunk legs would just, there'd be no way to get him down.
Oh, just that tree trunk body. Holy crap. Just to sort of, you know, as before we move on to the next game a little bit, you know, obviously Ryan Tannehill, that was probably one of his poorest performances of the past.
I think, you know, it was his first postseason game too, I believe.
I think he might have had one postseason games with the Dolphins.
Okay.
He didn't make it a couple of years ago when the Dolphins did make the playoffs. I think that might have been Matt Moore. I think that Tannehill was playing well, got hurt, and then Matt Moore was backing him up, and he ended up, not Matt Hardy. I think Matt Moore. I think he was the one that was backing him up, and then they ended up getting there, and then again, I'm getting smashed in the wild card. I think it might have been two, maybe 3 years ago. But, you know, Tannehill, since sort of taking over as the Tennessee starter, and he threw for a touchdown. He only had 8 completions, throws for a touchdown and an interception. But since he's taken over, and I totally stole this stat off the broadcaster, so thank you. Who was broadcasting that? I think it might have been CBS. So thanks, Tony Romo and the Jim Nance and the crew. Since taking over, they've had since Tannehill's taken over, 30 trips in the red zone, 26 touchdowns.
Nice. Wow. That is a stat.
So that is a good hit rate.
Well, yeah. Well, guess before we move on, obviously that's Tannehill's team now. What happens to Marcus Mariota? He was the number one two pick only 4 years ago. Yeah, I get that, but he was a Heisman winner. He was only the number two draft pick only 4 years ago. He's an unrestricted free agent as well. Like,
I still think Tampa, and well, I suppose you can't really do it now unless Tannehill leaves. I don't know Tannehill's contract situation, whether or not. Tannehill is an unrestricted free agent. He could maybe move on elsewhere. I still think if the scenario comes to it, just swap Winston for Mariota.
Really?
Just see what happens.
Well, what I'm reading,
Bruce Arians clearly thinks he can win with another quarterback.
An intriguing option. A lot of them are saying at the moment, intriguing option for Mariota would be playing at the Patriots. Depending on what happens with Brady.
Oh, wow.
So that's... It'd have to be a backup quarterback at the start. It depends. I mean, I feel like all the quarterbacks, it's going to be like new free agency, like an NBA.
What about the Chargers?
Well, that's right. Yeah, well, that's where I think Tom Brady's going. I think Tom Brady's...
So.
I honestly think that's where Tom Brady's going. But it'll be like a la Kawhi Leonard with the free agency... for the NBA that happened just last year or this year, if you want to technically call it. It'd be what happens to Tom Brady, then everything else falls in place.
All the dominoes will fall in place after that.
That's exactly what's going to happen. But I don't know.
Tom Brady to the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Well, technically, technically your boy on the next team, technically Drew Brees is a free agent next year as well. I don't see him ever moving.
His 2 year contract's up, so you don't have to worry about him going anywhere.
Well, let me run through just before we move on. I'll run through all the quarterbacks that are at free agents: Drew Brees, Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, Teddy Bridgewater, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Ryan Tannehill, Dak Prescott, technically, yes. And then the rest are just numpties like Tyson Hill, Nick Mullins, Kyle Allen. So
Nick Mullins. He started some games. He started some games for the Niners last year.
Yeah. And, oh, man, then it's just like there's just dump. There's dumpster.
Well, see, there like, you go. Tannehill, man. Tannehill's going to come into a payday.
That's right. You're right. Well,
this
Tannehill
this
will,
sort of performance. Where?
Tannehill will come.
Where?
I think it'd be silly for Titans not to sign him to a deal.
I wouldn't think so. Think. They're familiar with him.
Yeah. I wouldn't go like 4 or 5 or 6 years. I'd be doing like it's probably 3 years at the most.
That means Mariota's gone.
Well, it probably does mean Mariota's gone. I don't know where. The guy was only a Heisman winner 4 or 5 years ago, so no, surely no, exactly. Not that it means anything, but no.
Tim Tebow was a Heisman winner.
Yeah, well, that's a good
he
point.
Didn't even
yeah,
last, he didn't even last it. Five. He lasted 5 seconds in the league.
That's a very good point.
He was supposed to be the greatest college quarterback that anyone's ever seen.
So is Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel's another one, actually. Yeah, good point.
Couldn't make it in the NFL.
The Saints losing. Wow.
Moving on. Seattle and Philadelphia. No.
I think. What did you think of that last play? So they lost in overtime by a touchdown. Where Kirk Cousins, just looking down a little quick fadeaway throw to Kyle Rudolph, and then Kyle Rudolph scored right in the corner.
Well, that was Rudolph's like 33rd touchdown in the last 10 weeks. So like he's
no.
He's been the go-to man.
Did you think it was pass interference?
There's rules analysts out there that have said yes, that's offensive pass interference. I think there was a full extended arm.
And
the Saints defender literally that affected him, and that's the point of it.
That's
the point of it. Do you think they were going to reverse a call in New Orleans that everyone was complaining about there? No. So
poor New Orleans. Every time, but it's just
that's the least controversy, controversial end that they've had in the last 3 years. So let's get past that. The same thing happened in this game as what happened against the Rams last year. They had their opportunities to win and they didn't take them. They come away with 3 points in situations where they should have come away with 7. Will Lutz shanking the field goal on halftime, does that cost them?
Possibly, because it's a mindset thing as well.
Exactly. You look at it, and if the Saints go in 3 points up instead of tied, then the whole second half is played totally different. So who's to say that the events of the second half unfold the exact same way? They probably don't, because there's the mindset there by the Vikings that they've got to chase that 3 points instead of going in, I think it was 13 all at halftime.
Yeah.
So, that changes the game.
They did have a terrific fourth quarter, Drew. Saints to come back. They had a really good fourth quarter.
That's right. They had a great fourth quarter, but the thing is too, like they had the chance to win it at the end, and Drew Brees, who has got as safe a hands as any, makes just a crucial error and has that fumble.
Yeah.
When they're in the red zone.
Yeah.
And it's on that throwing hand. You can see that thumb is still clearly taped. Whether that's got any effect of it, whether that's got.
I don't know.
I don't think that thumb is bothering him too much, because he's played pretty damn well since he's come back. So, that's just crucial. It's a tie game, and he makes that error. They're in the red zone. They just made a huge play. I can't think of who made the run. Might have been Jared Cook. Oh no, it wasn't. It was Taysom Hill. Of course, it was Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill does everything.
It was Taysom Hill.
It was Taysom Hill. He made that massive run up the sideline.
Yeah, 28-yard run, I think it was.
A la George Kittle when they played the Niners a few weeks ago. Nobody could tackle him. and they get into the red zone and they blow the opportunity. They don't even come away with points.
Is that a Sean Payton thing or is that a Drew Brees thing?
No, well, the fumbles 100% on Drew Brees.
I know that.
Alvin Kamara was ordinary.
Was poor.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's been pretty good the last few weeks.
Yeah.
You know, the competition that they went up against the week before in Carolina may have given them a false sense of security. They came out and just beat the living hell out of the Panthers. And they come up against, you know, a defense like Minnesota did. And the Saints offensive line got mauled. Yeah. Absolutely mauled. There were so many times where Breeze is under pressure and they've got one of the best offensive lines in the league. And for them to not be able to give Breeze at least a little bit of time to be able to do what he does, they got dominated. And quite frankly, they did not deserve to win.
No, you're right. They didn't deserve to win. I did appreciate finally Adam Thielen doing something this year. He was great. But that's what I mean. I know the start of the year he was blaming we need to throw the ball more. But it's also on the flip side, they needed to catch more as well.
It ended up being roles reversed. Stephon Diggs was coming off, after offensive sets and having a little poo poo and throwing his helmet on the ground and everything. He never got tainted. Not that he didn't make a reception or anything in the first half. He didn't even get targeted in the first half.
No, we only got two for 19 yards.
He had two catches and does some crazy freaking dance in front of the Saints sideline after they get the win. It's like, who are you kidding? He did nothing except whinge and complain when he wasn't getting the ball. Adam Thielen was the hot guy.
Yeah.
Thielen was on fire. You know, the second play of the game, Thielen fumbles.
Mm.
And once again, it's a non-capitalization of the fumble. Saints only come away with 3 points.
Yeah. No, that's
second
correct.
Play
yeah.
of the game. You gifted the opportunity, and they only come away with 3 points. That there is almost not so. You can't really blame Sean Payton on that. You know, Sean Payton is a damn good coach, and you know, an offensive guru. So you can't really blame him, in that regard. So I just the Saints offense and all credit to Minnesota. They went in there. They were the only ones that believed they were going to win, spat in the face of the Saints, and come away with the win.
So this has happened the last couple of years, and I'm not, controversy aside, is there, and we're not going to change Sean Payton, and we're not going to change Drew Brees, but is there a need to be a little bit of a change at New Orleans Saints? Because they're pretty consistent. You don't hear a lot of them changing and chopping and changing that much, but, you know, they're not getting to the dance either, so...
No, you're right. I think defensively they were very problematic this year, whereas in previous seasons it's taken them a little while to sort of get into a defensive groove. But then, you know, come the end of the season, they've been pretty good. At the end of the game, not quite the end of the game, but in the fourth quarter, you know, Marshawn Lattimore, who's their best corner, was getting angry at other guys on the sideline. So there's a little bit of disharmony there. They weren't playing up to standard. Injuries played a toll in that. You know, defensively they were just decimated by injury. And then in this game, Kiko Alonso ended up tearing his ACL for the third time. Not the same one, but I think it's the second time in his right knee, and he's torn his ACL in his left knee as well throughout his career. So he was out. So they were just down linebackers. You know, their defensive front is still pretty good. But, you know, when they missed Alex Alazon as well, he went out in week two. Defensively, I think that might be their biggest thing that they'll be looking for is to try and get some sort of, you know, dominant pass rusher to help out Cam Jordan, you know, whether it's a linebacker or another, you know, another defensive tackle. and definitely trying to find a good second receiver.
Yeah. I mean, offensively, there's not much that, you know. Offensively, they're brilliant. You know, they've got the tools everywhere. You know, the tight end. Yeah, they've got tools everywhere. But
well, they could probably look at a younger tight end because Jared Cook's not, you know, obviously isn't a spring chicken anymore. So you could probably look at a younger tight end. Man, you could play Taysom Hill at tight end.
Yeah, he is Mr. Reliable, isn't he, Taysom Hill?
Oh man, he was
great
Swiss
in
Army
that game.
Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, he was pretty good in that game. I thought, I thought he was really good in that game.
He was great. Man, he was good.
The last game was, the Seahawks getting over the Philadelphia Eagles, 17-9. Basically, I don't know, after Jadeveon Clowney, once he knocked out Carson Wentz, I thought it was pretty much over for Philadelphia.
It was pretty cut and dry after that. What did you think?
You didn't see any
hit?
Malice in that, did you?
No.
I don't know. I thought it was fine. I know they're reviewing it now as we speak, apparently.
He's hitting from behind. He hasn't driven him in anything. It's incidental helmet contact. It looks like that Carson Wentz's face sort of pancaked against the ground a little bit. There was no malice, no intent. Yeah, he's making a tackle.
Yeah.
And it's just unfortunate that he's had to go off. And this is unfortunate. This has been Carson Wentz's MO.
Yeah,
that boy can't stay healthy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He's a great player when he's healthy. I mean, he was MVP, a MVP candidate 1 or 2 years ago when he's healthy.
He was essentially a month away from being the MVP of the league. Goes down, and then St. Nick's got to come in again. They don't have that anymore.
No.
So Carson Wentz is making his playoff debut. Lasts 4 passes. 1 completion, 3 yards, and then Josh McCown's got to come in, who's 40.
On his debut as well.
Well, yeah, on his debut at 40.
Yeah.
Man,
what
did
you
play some bad. Oh, man.
poor guy. What did you think of... I thought Russell Wilson was great. He did have a sack against him, but threw 325 yards in that game.
He was great.
Most of it was to DK Metcalf, who pulled out 160 yards
man.
And 7 carries. That long, it was like a 53-yard bomb or something. I remember that one. That sort of stood out to me.
He falls to the ground and nobody's around him, so he just gets back up and scores a touchdown. That was crazy. Yeah.
The Seahawks postseason record's pretty good. That's 11-2 now in the postseason. In the last 4 to 5 years. The postseason record the last 4 to 5 years is 11-2.
They're now 8-1 on the road this year.
Yeah. Well, and
they want road games. They don't want to play in Seattle. They want road games.
Well, they're going to keep playing road games because their next game,
they have to go to Lambeau.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But
yeah, they're
still,
going to Lambeau Field.
Is it, can they win?
Of course they can.
Well, okay. Do you think they're going to win? It's probably how I should have worded that. Of course, any team can win. Do you think they can win?
Oh, man. I'd give them a puncher's chance.
I don't know. Out of all the games, I feel, you're right. It's Lambeau Field.
They'll have to be very, very good defensively to stop the Jones and Adams. Because I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is going to worry you too much. But the thing is, you get lured into a false sense of security and go, we don't have to worry about Aaron Rodgers, and he'll come out and pass for 400 yards.
No, that's right. But you said that with the last few weeks they've been good, but Devontae Adams hasn't had a great season, so either is Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones had a great season, but. Those guys are generally the reason for the wins. You know, you're not really saying that Aaron Rodgers is the one that's pulling these games out of the fire.
I don't know. I just think out of all those games, I think Seahawks I feel that's going to be more closer than a lot of the other games if I'm looking. Well, they've
got
the
best. They've got the best chance out of those four games to win on the road.
Correct. Because all the other teams.
I don't think Minnesota has much of a chance against that San Francisco defense. Like they're going to pose a real problem. Kirk Cousins is going to be running all over the place. Nick Bosa is going to be chasing him like he's a piece of chicken.
that's exactly right.
He's a big old drunk in a purple shirt.
Where do the Eagles go from here? Because look in their defense, they sputtered in.
They
sputtered into the playoffs. They did have a lot of injuries as well.
Zach Ertz was playing with two broken ribs, a fractured rib cage, a lacerated kidney. It just, do you know what I mean? Like he only had two catches in the game, but that's I mean they were just completely decimated injury wise. The young kid Boston Scott was there. Miles Sanders played really well.
Another good game, yeah. He's in season, yeah. Another really good game. So
yeah, their number one, two, and three receivers weren't there. Obviously Wentz goes down. Again, Philly, just get healthy. It's a long off season.
I don't think, just from hearing what you're saying, I'm probably going to be in agreement with this, that contract that Wentz signed at the start of the year, obviously it's good for Wentz. Yeah, was it really good for the Eagles?
Ouch.
Yeah, well, there's another one. Who was it? Jared Goff, he signed around the same sort of time.
Ooh.
LA Rams, and that's
double
ouch.
Double ouch. At least Jared Goff's healthy.
Well, this is true, but you know, Jared Goff's healthy, and Jared Goff has about 20 receivers he could throw to, but still doesn't.
Exactly. How can he not win?
So, yeah, I don't get it. Do you want to move on? Did you want to touch on any of the games coming ahead, or do you want to move on to some news with the coaches and that?
There's definitely some. They'll be good. They'll be good games in this divisional round. I wouldn't sort of write off Tennessee against Baltimore, especially if Baltimore don't have Mark Ingram. I think Derrick Henry can punch some holes. And the both teams are going to want to control the clock, mm-hmm. Because they're both run fairly heavy teams. So whichever team can control the clock the best, and same old cliche, blah blah blah, don't give away penalties and all that sort of stupid crap like that. But I wouldn't write off Tennessee. You're going to be riding high going into Foxborough, winning. So I don't think Baltimore is going to hold too many fears for him.
Well, Mark Andrews is another one that's questionable as well, along with Ingram. Right.
Well, he's had the week to sort of get rested and ready, and I'm not 100% sure if he played in week 17 either. So
yeah.
Hopefully he's nice and fresh and ready to go. And if Mark Ingram plays, then maybe look at it the other way, but. If those two guys don't play, then don't write off Tennessee. I don't think Houston has much of a chance against Kansas City. I just think Kansas City's going to they'll blow them off the park offensively.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean now that I guess Mahomes is that healthy now. Yeah.
Well, he's healthy
I
now.
Think. Yeah. I had think the week, that you're
had the
right.
Week off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had the week off. Andy Reid's had another week to sort of scheme and plot now for Minnesota. And so Minnesota were pretty good defensively. So, they are going to have to, be on their toes a little bit. But, we'll see what happens.
So moving on to some of the news, the coaching carousel, as I like to call it. Because you called it not even Black Monday, you called it Black Sunday. So a few coaches were let go, but if it's quick, I didn't think it would be this quick, but there's been a few hirings, starting with, I'll start with my boys, the Cowboys, signing Mike McCarthy to a deal. I mean, it's undisclosed the years in the amount, but
Yeah, that hasn't come out yet. They just, there's reports out there that Mike McCarthy had himself a nice little sleepover at Jerry Jones's place. You know, just getting a company, just getting accustomed to the crib. Yeah, and just I'm sure they would have
one of the 50 rooms that'll probably be in that house.
Yeah, exactly, and 45 bathrooms, and I'm sure they would have indulged in some Johnny Walker Blue Label. So they would.
Look,
if Mike McCarthy had a desire to raid the fridge at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm sure there would have been some tasty delights in there. So that's a very odd situation. That's very strange.
The odd situation of him being in that
house.
Who
has a sleepover with their owner and GM?
Or maybe he had nowhere else to stay. He doesn't know anybody in Dallas.
With the Four Seasons in Fort Worth somewhere. Come on.
It's an interesting pick. I like it for Dak. I think Dak's gonna play well under McCarthy. I know Aaron Rodgers didn't like him towards the end there, but I think Mike McCarthy's offensive minded enough to make Dak shine. I think.
Well, you want to hope so. I think a lot of the things that I've sort of read in the last, probably 48 hours, that McCarthy will come in and implement a very sort of what they call West Coast offense with the Cowboys, which what they're saying is they think that will very much help. That will help Dak Prescott out. They supposedly played a little bit of that style of play, the Cowboys, this year, but wasn't really implemented that much. And they're saying that Mike McCarthy will definitely be having a very West Coast offense flavor to those guys offensively. So it'll be difficult to start with because it's a whole new fat playbook to sit down and learn and memorize for Dak Prescott. But by then he'll have got his contract. He'll have got his money. The pressure will be off a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do with the weapons that he's got there, like Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper and what he can sort of conjure up for Ezekiel Elliott. If the Cowboys offensive line can be any sort of good from what they were a couple of years ago in providing protection for Dak Prescott, then the world's their oyster.
Yeah, well, they have the team. I mean, I know everyone keeps saying they really do have the team to get to the Super Bowl. They do have the team.
Do you think talent-wise, even at the start of the season, that Philadelphia had a better team on paper than what the Dallas Cowboys did?
Hell no.
Of course they did.
No way. No, definitely not. What do you think of the? We don't know him. This is a new name, so I guess to everybody, and I think to even ESPN or any sports analyst, Joe Judge is the coach of the New York head coach of the New York Giants.
Who that?
That's exactly right. So he was the wide receiver coach at the Patriots. He's never done a coordinator's job ever.
Not even a coordinator's job.
He's only 38 too, which I thought was. I mean, I didn't touch on that, but that's fairly young for a.
Everyone's looking for the new whiz kid, genius, offensive mind, a la Sean McVay, blah, Cliff Kingsbury, blah, blah, blah. So, they've got to take a punt.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what I think they've done.
The guy's never held a coordinator's position. He's a wide receivers coach.
He must have had a hell of an interview for them to not look anybody else. He must have just...
Well, there's his, the, and the thing is...
His interview
horrors
get...
He must have done something real good in them interviews. I think a lot of it is they're looking at his pedigree. So before he was with Belichick and the Patriots, he had 3 years as a football analyst under Nick Saban in Alabama. So they're looking at the pedigree. They're looking at who he's sort of learned his trade off, and they're hoping that they can strike gold with it.
You brought up before the pod. Interesting enough, there's a talk that Jason Garrett, now that he's fired from the Cowboys, may be the offensive coordinator for the New York Giants, who love
probably going to undo all the good work that they may do with this Joe Judge. I don't know. It might be the pressure's off now that Jason Garrett can be the play caller and nothing else, and it might, you know, they might be able to free them up. It just depends on what, you know, what they can do and work with Daniel Jones and that sort of core of receivers and Saquon Barkley there, and if they can get a healthy Evan Engram back.
I guess the thing that surprises me is that Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator for the Patriots, didn't even get an interview. So, again, this guy must have done something crazily good to get the job, to not even get... I'm sure there was other people...
Josh McDaniels wants to keep milking that Patriots cow until it runs out of milk.
Or there's one more position still. Is he want to go on that hype train of the Cleveland Browns? Because someone's got to get them. Someone has to do it.
And they have just been interviewing people like it's been going out of fashion. They've been interviewing the Chiefs offensive coordinator. That they've been going crazy. Could you imagine if Marvin Lewis or somebody
from the Bengals? Oh my god.
Former Bengals. Well, he was the other one that got interviewed for the Cowboys job. So
yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad they didn't go down that route.
Oh man. Like but that's essentially the kind of, I guess, sort of puppet that Jerry Jones likes. You know, he never really heard too much of him at Cincinnati. Owners liked him. They rewarded, you know, ineptitude there. It doesn't matter if you make the playoffs or not, you know, whatever, have a four-win season, five-year season. Yeah, right, we'll keep you on next year. Like, you know, and we'll just keep extending you. Like, you know, he was that. But, you know, the Mike McCarthy hire, you know, he's got a Super Bowl on the resume, so you can't really fault that.
No. The other big hire was the Carolina Panthers hired Baylor's Matt Rhule as a head coach. To a 7-year, $62.5 million contract. That could push to seven in USA. That's a massive commitment. But I'm just reading now that interestingly enough, New York had the chance. He gave New York the chance to match that offer, which they declined to do.
Ooh,
so,
wow.
So yeah, it's just coming out. Sort of, this looks like just coming out. They gave him a chance to match the offer, that obviously didn't think 62. I mean, 62 million is a massive commitment on a coach.
That seems that.
I mean, he's from what I've read of him, he's a great program coach, like the college program and that. He's turned college programs around. I don't know if that means he's going to turn the Carolina Panthers around, but, $62 million is a massive leap of faith.
Man, contracts mean nothing these days.
They can be paid out and
things like that. But it'll just be interesting to see what how they go about, you know, this experiment, which has generally failed. That the even experienced college football coaches coming into the NFL and not doing very well. Nick Saban didn't really do that well at the NFL level. You know, he's one of the greatest college football coaches. I don't know. I think we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Nick Saban looked at Drew Brees and discussed with the organization. Well, he's had a shoulder injury. I don't think we should take a punt on him. And yeah, New Orleans went, oh, thanks.
It's interesting that actually, Nick Saban as an example, because you're right, he's a great college coach. Is that because then college coaches, they work well in that program? Because it's not like the NFL where you get these NFL draft picks and that. You can go and find these players and get these players. They're not drafted to you. You can buy these players, so to speak.
No, that's right. NFL is, you've got to be a man manager,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. Men of all ages. As a college coach, you've got all the power. You're managing, 18 to 22, 23-year-olds.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, that's a really good point. Do you know what I mean?
Like, you know, you can sort of stamp your authority too much, whereas if it just depends on the character of the coach, if they try to do some of the stuff that maybe they do to college kids, to guys that are, you know, that are 28 or 30 or whatever, they tell them to probably go and bleep themselves.
It'll be
interesting to see what he can sort of provide Carolina, because what is their answer at quarterback? They're going into limbo quarterback wise. It sure as hell isn't Will Greer. Is it Kyle Allen? Are they going to maybe re-sign franchise Cam Newton? Are they going to try and trade him to try and maybe take a dip in the waters of the quarterback class of this year?
I don't know. Well, they've got a lot of things
they've got to work out this offseason.
I'm assuming they're going to have a high draft pick, the Carolina Panthers. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm assuming their draft pick's going to be pretty high, you would think.
It's on my other notebook. we say number six.
Number seven it's got here.
The number seven, okay. I thought it was close.
Well, there's only – well.
Who's to say a certain Alabama quarterback doesn't fall to him?
Wow. You're so good at segues, because that was my next segue.
Man.
You're a segue master.
Segue.
Well, a certain Alabama quarterback by the name of Tua Tagovailoa has now declared for the 2020 NFL draft, among other players.
Former Alabama.
Good point. among other players, but obviously there's one of the biggest, sort of, I guess, there'll be a lot of other players that will declare, but one of the biggest so far that's declared. I'm thinking more the Panthers. Now you said it. I had him. Look, he's coming into the unknown. Not he's coming into the unknown. All the NFL teams are coming into the unknown because he can't train.
I still think if he's there at five, Miami takes him.
Well, that was always sort of my pick. Is he too risky?
Oh yeah, of course he is. He can't stay healthy either.
Okay, so is he worth it then?
There's only one way to find out.
Yeah.
And Miami's only got themselves to blame by being 5-4 in their last 9 games. Otherwise, they would be picking number one and they would be able to take Joe Burrow.
Technically, at the start of the year, technically at the start of the year, there was a hashtag going around, tank for Tua hashtag.
Tanking for Tua.
And Miami Dolphins were all over that because they were going to get they were going to have the number one draft pick. But
and then they started winning games.
Maybe they always wanted to, and they said, well, we can drop the five because he'll drop there. That's all part of the master plan. Yeah, of course.
Oh, man. Part of the master plan.
He's going to come into that before the draft. So he's only going to be able to, obviously, he'll have to do medicals, but he'll have to do the interviews, and that's it. He can't do anything else. He can't train. He can't.
No, he won't be able to do anything. So, like, there's enough footage of him for them to be able to know what he can do. So that probably won't be too bad, but it'll just be a matter of can we keep him healthy? And if Miami, the scenario if he falls to Miami at number five. And this is just, you know, purely sort of speculation, and we don't know what the draft's going to look like, as it comes around. But I think it's in April. So how they're going to play this? What do they do with Josh Rosen? Everybody's forgotten about him. Can you try and flip him for? Another draft pick. They only gave up a second round draft pick to get him. So can they try and get the same thing in return to a team that may like him? Boy, wouldn't it be funny if he went to the Patriots? Anyway, that just popped into my head just then. I don't know why.
Because you're on my sort of thing. You're on my bandwagon. I'm seriously do not see Tom Brady playing there next year. I just don't see it. I don't know. I just don't see it. But I don't. It's hard not to say.
Patriots
but
are going
to
sell him.
They've got to sell him.
They've
exactly
got to sell him. We are going to help you.
Yeah, well, they are going to help him. But yeah, going back to Tua, I think if he falls to five, where a lot of analysts are saying yes, I think Miami have to take him. I think it'd be silly for them not to. So, because your top three quarterbacks are Joe Burrow, Tua, and that Justin Herbert from Oregon, I believe.
Oregon,
I think
yeah.
he was a high valued quarterback, I believe. But
I haven't heard much about Justin Fields from Ohio State, if he's going to come out at all. Generally, there's a few sort of, yeah, there'll be a few diamonds in the rough. But, you know, those bigger name quarterbacks. But, yeah, those are your top three is Tua, Justin Herbert, and Joe Burrow. So
There's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks.
Well, and that's the thing. There's teams that what does Jacksonville do?
What do the Chargers do?
Philip
Rivers is a free agent. Like, there's a lot of, yeah.
Could Josh Rosen be the future in LA?
Maybe.
Yeah. Somebody's got to give him a shot. Like you said, you know, the dominoes will fall once Brady sort of makes his decision, and then other teams will be able to go, right, this is who we're going to pursue. Well, they're going to go at it at the draft, or, you know, we're going to look for, you know, guys like that. You know, Rosen needs to get into a situation where he can be semi-protected, and then you will be able to see what the kid can do. Because in Arizona, zero protection, got hammered, looked terrible. Miami couldn't even beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick. So that doesn't bode well for him. But if he can be semi-protected, you know, even in a mid-range, type of offense / offensive line, to give him a little bit of time. He's only 24, 25. Like, he's not old at all. So there's going to be a team out there that'll take a flyer on him.
Finishing up studs and duds of the week. We'll start with a dud because I think we were both in agreement on the dud of the week being Josh Allen.
Yeah, no, you're right. Notable mention, for me was just the Saints' offensive line being completely and utterly dominated. You know, and that's total bias by me. And you know, I know what I saw. And yeah, they made that good Saints' offensive line look very ordinary. But yeah, no, you're right. Like, and really it's only Josh Allen, you know, purely on that fourth quarter performance. Like, I get it, you know, like you said earlier, pressure does strange things. You can either poop the bed or relish in it. And in that last series, in the last 6 or 7 minutes of that fourth quarter, Josh Allen essentially pooped the bed. They were in shot to pretty much to take the game away from Houston. They were in the red zone. And the commentator said it. Keep it there, run the ball, burn the clock, take the field goal.
Yeah.
So what happens? The offensive line breaks down. He takes a sack. That was before the 2 minute warning. After the 2 minute warning, okay, they're still within field goal range. Don't take a sack.
Yeah.
He proceeds to lose another 26 yards, takes a sack. And they're out of field goal range. Like, you just can't do that on a run play. Early, might have even been early in that drive to get them within field goal range. He's running up the field and he's almost tackled. And then he tries a Matt Gidley flick out the back to try and keep the ball alive. And then one of his wide receivers has got to bat it over the sidelines. It's like, oh my God, what am I watching?
Yeah.
No.
I'm in total agreement with that. He's either got a bad call, or if you're looking at it, I'd say it's just his brain explosion. It's possibly not even a call.
It could just be a brain fart, and you just hope that he learns from it.
The start of the week, I feel like, for me, I've picked this guy every week for like the last 20 weeks anyway. It's hard not to pick Derrick Henry.
It is. It just is.
It's hard not to pick him for the fact of the quarterback didn't win that game for him. Literally, a running back won the game for the Titans, not the quarterback. And usually, it's always a quarterback. So the man's ridiculous. No one can tackle him. It's absolutely ridiculous. And that's probably, you're right. Ravens, look, their defense is okay, but it's not notable. So you're right. They're going to have a hard time trying to stop him.
Any team's going to have trouble stopping him. So, for me, okay. Derrick Henry, I think Deshaun Watson was outstanding in that second half.
They started work, but in the second
that's
half,
right.
Yes.
In the second half, he was ridiculous. You know, that play right near the end there where he nearly got sacked twice. And then it ended up coming out of it and makes, I can't think of the Tawan somebody who he made the 35 yard pass to essentially send a game in the overtime. Mm-hmm. He was great. You know, he was pretty efficient. Like we said earlier, 20 or 25. Got the job done. Didn't really get a whole lot of help out of the running game. I think Duke Johnson only had like 3 rushes. Carlos Hyde was sort of up and down a little bit.
Only 48 yards. Well, Deshaun Watson had the most yards, 14 carries for 55 yards. So.
That's right.
And the touchdown for that.
A lot of design, plays as well. And, you know, he was, I think it was a touchdown pass to Fells as well. Deshaun Watson sort of, you know, in that little bit of adversity where they went down early, and they've been, you know, the Texans have been one of those regular season teams where they're sort of, you know, okay to good. And then once they get to the playoffs, you know, wild card round, divisional, bounced and see you later. Yeah. So for them to be able to get the win. And the other thing was too is you know, you give a little bit of credit. Houston under coach Bill O'Brien were 0-22 when trailing by 16 points or more.
Really? Wow.
Had lost 22 games when trailing by 16 points or more, and they pulled this one out of the bag. So, you know, credit goes to Bill O'Brien and the Texans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that fourth quarter as well. I'm not going to call it a miracle play. I know the commentators here, but that fourth quarter, when it looks like it was going to get poleaxed by two edge rushers, and he bounced off both.
He got sandwiched and still got up.
And still got up. Well, he didn't even flinch. He spun out of it, and then somehow was able to get the ball. And it was a 34-yard sort of throw. And, yeah, wow, it was – that. Well, that was the play of the game. That's what won
that's
it for
the
him,
play
really.
Of the game. So. That's 100% the play of the game.
Well, that'll do it for the NFL podcast this week. Don't forget to follow us on all those socials out there. Faces. I don't know why I'm calling it Facey, but Facey.
Facey, we're being progressive and cool here. Get us on Facey.
And Twitter at the final play.
Twitty, get us on some Twitty.
That's the last time I'm going to say Facey ever.
And and check us out on Soundy as well. Let's get some Soundy.
Okay, that's the last time.
Check
I'm
us out on the cloud.
On the cloud on Facey and on the
S cloud.
On the tour for Twitter.
on the Twitter.
My name is Jason. Enjoy your divisional round NFL week, everyone.
And my name's Miles Facey Plum, and enjoy the divisional round. Since we don't have any barracking interests anymore, we will be very, very non-divisive about these next games.
Well, I think now by after this week, when we'll talk about the next week's game, we probably could pick a winner then now for next week. Now all our teams are gone. We'll have to pick a winner next week. Well, at least Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right. We can be very, non-confrontational and not be so passionate about it. But still be passionate. Not Stephen A. Smith passionate, but, you know, still be passionate nonetheless.
I'm not that passionate. No, and I don't have that. I don't have just, the time to be.
If
passionate.
You could just be passionate about one thing in your life, as what he is passionate about, multiple things in his life, it's just a better world. It just is.
Yeah, pretty much.
Especially what his passion is with the New York Knicks. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Just a sucker for punishment. Good. He gets the good. He gets the good and the bad. He gets the New York Yankees and the New York Knicks. Like, oh, what a roller coaster
and
that is.
And you could pepper the. Is he the Jets boy or is he a Giants boy?
He's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, but there was a reason.
He loves Mike Tomlin.
Oh well, that's a whole different thing we could talk about in the pod. What he brought up this week about NFL coaches, but we could talk about that another time.
He was very passionate about that. Very upset.
The Rooney Rule, as they like to call it.
Yeah, the Rooney Rule. Well, that's it. It's essentially what it is. It's put in place, which, you know, it's a silly sort of rule that you've got to put this in place that sort of. You know, to have minorities in the coaching, you know, in the coaching business. Like if it's on the owners. Like it's on the owners. If they don't want to hire, you know, whether it's minorities, whether it's Hispanic coaches, black coaches, whatever. It's just to have to implement a rule there where you have to have a certain percentage there. That's a more indictment on the league.
Yeah, I believe so. Purely because they own these teams. That's their money that they're putting into the team. They can do what they want. If it's color, it's color. If it's got nothing to do with the guy, who cares? If they want
to
pick that,
shouldn't have anything to do. It's right. Shouldn't have anything to do with your skin color. If you can get the job done, it shouldn't matter what skin color you are.
Yeah,
you could be a freaking alien. Yeah. Like if you know you can get the job done, it doesn't matter.
No, I completely agree. And on Stephen A, well, not even on Stephen A's point, but just on that before we finish up, I found it funny. He was going on about the Rooney Rule, but he couldn't even name five black coaches out there that could actually go black because they could actually go for those jobs.
That's what he's campaigning for. But exactly, you know, it's not even, you know, how many could he name?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And is that a product of the system? Is that a product of the system? Like I said, an indictment on the league.
It's a diet, yeah. Yeah. Yep. I completely agree.
Plenty of black head coaches in the NBA.
Yeah, that's correct. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's the owners own the team. Like, I know the NFL govern the league, but the owners own the team, so they can do what the hell they want.
Roger Goodell works for 32 owners.
That's exactly right. Exactly well, 30, right.
He won owners and a whole bunch of people from Green Bay.
He probably only works for one owner, and then the rest sort of fall in line with that one owner. We don't know who we're talking about, but I know.
Well, that's probably true. A big star logo, perhaps. Yeah. Why not? No, that's probably right. But yeah, it's 31 owners and a whole bunch of people from Green Bay.
From Green Bay, yeah. I still don't. Yeah. Anyway, we could talk about that now. Tell why. Yeah. We won't keep going on about it, but why? I'd love to talk
more
about
why. Do it.
Yeah. Exactly right. That's exactly right. And it's never going to happen again, but you're exactly right.
No, that's right.
All right. Have a good week, everyone. Peace.
See ya.